Okay, so really lucky to be joined with Dr. Tanya Doms, a professor of biochemistry with us on the 620 CKRM newsroom. Dr. Doms, lots of vaccine hesitancy and misinformation circulating surrounding the COVID-19 shots right now. Is that something that when these vaccines came out that was expected? I guess just considering the speed that they were brought into to the public?
Sure. I think that a lot of the speed with which the vaccines were developed had a lot to do with the fact that we had an excellent pipeline already for traditional vaccines, and the mRNA vaccines were actually first tested in the context of cancer treatment, and so those had already gone through clinical trials. And the other aspect is that we already had an earlier coronavirus pandemic in 2002-2004, and so vaccines were actually developed at that time in the anticipation of a potential pandemic. And so there was a lot of testing that had already been done on these vaccines, and as a result, it accelerated the speed with which they could be developed. And then further to that, during the pandemic, of course, we had some of the phases of the clinical trials can be delayed as a result of not enough volunteers. But of course, we have many engaged and really interested participants for the final phase of the clinical trial.
And there's lots and lots of efforts going on, not just here, but all over the world, I imagine, to end vaccine hesitancy and end misinformation being spread. You're part of a committee that's taking part in town halls this week. The first one went on Tuesday, yesterday. How did that go last night? Did anything surprise you?
No, I mean, I guess I'm always surprised. So these are forums that are organized by COVID-19 Resources Canada, and they've been actually happening since January of this year. And what we're doing is we're bringing it to individual provinces. I'm always surprised by the level of engagement. So we had, and participants can ask questions by speaking. They can unmute their video, but they can just put something in the chat, or they can directly chat to our moderator if they want to do it anonymously. But by and large, I'm always enthralled by the level of curiosity and engagement by the participants, and it was no different last night.
Is there a certain way that you need to approach vaccine hesitant people, or people that may have heard some misinformation and are now hesitant to receive the COVID-19 vaccine? Maybe just so you don't kind of come across as, I don't want to say like you know more, but you know, kind of putting them down in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is about, these sessions are about creating a safe space. So that people can ask questions that they don't know the answers to and that they feel curious about. And I don't know all the answers to all the questions. That's why I assembled a panel of experts. And so, last night we had a doctor, we had myself, and someone who's been very involved, Dr. Andrew Cameron, who's been very involved in collecting information for the University of Regina community. And what's really important is that this is about informed decision making. So I'm not going to prescribe to you how you make the decision. I'm just going to try to provide you with enough valid information that you can make your own decisions. So really, it's about informed consent, and it's not intended to be, a place where we dictate what's going on. This is a safe space that people can ask questions about which they're genuinely curious.
Some of the most common maybe things of misinformation are, well, we don't know the long-term effects. What could we discover 5, even 10 years down the road that this vaccine could do to people? Can you explain, so the average person, I guess, can understand,
sure,
why that's not something people should be concerned about?
Well, sure. So the traditional vaccines, like the AstraZeneca and the Johnson & Johnson vaccines, they're based on technology that we've been using for years and years and years. So this is the type of vaccines that we use to develop influenza vaccines. The mRNA vaccines are a little bit different, and like I mentioned, they were piloted in the context of treating cancer patients, and so they have been studied very well for quite a long period of time. The only real difference is that in the traditional vaccines, we use a slightly different delivery system. So we use a protein coat to deliver DNA vaccines. And what happens is that whether your body gets foreign DNA or foreign mRNA, the DNA gets converted into mRNA, and then it's translated into a protein using our machinery. Once that happens, the mRNA simply breaks down. In humans, we don't have the enzyme that is capable of converting mRNA into DNA. So there's no possibility of incorporating the mRNA into our genetic code. So essentially it comes in, it serves as a code to make a protein to which we have an immune response, and then it's broken down within about 30 minutes.
I don't want to spread too much of the common misconceptions, I guess, that are going out there, but because that's not the point of this. But some other people are saying they want to wait until maybe the vaccine has been out for a few years and has been improved. But is that kind of not something that is possible even?
It's possible. It's just it's not, anytime you get it, great, right? What's happening right now is that we're trying to achieve a situation that we're not collapsing our health system. And so that's been the big worry in regards to the pandemic. What we know about the first shot of vaccination is that you dramatically, you almost completely eliminate the possibility of death as a result from SARS-CoV-2 infection. And so, I'm not going to tell people how to live their lives, for sure. But certainly, if they want to protect themselves, then it would be a good idea to have the vaccination sooner rather than later. In terms of, misinformation, one of the examples is that someone with having gotten the vaccine can then shed virus. Because they're only using a tiny piece of mRNA that codes for one protein and not the whole virus, it's completely impossible for that to happen. So there's a lot of misconception in terms of what the vaccines are actually doing in our body.
So there's another town hall meeting coming up tomorrow at 8 p.m. Has the turnout and the response been so far growing since these began?
Yes.
And are you satisfied with how many people you see coming out to these?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we don't want too many people. So the fact that we had a smaller number last night allowed for a nice discussion, conversation. So, it's a really low-pressure situation, and we want to keep it that way. What I notice is that at the beginning, we need to sort of get the ball rolling, and then people start to feel comfortable asking questions. And then by the end of the evening, we have more and more questions happening. Some people just come, and they just listen, and that's great, too. Or make a comment or two, and that's just fine. So it's a really open, respectful place. And so on average, I would say since January, these sessions have anywhere from, 10 to 50 people. I think we did a session with the vaccine hunters that was very popular, but a nice small number actually works really well. What we found in BC was that the two sessions were small, but then afterwards there was a flurry of email questions coming in, and so we actually generated a third session that was then a lot bigger. And so what happens is sort of by word of mouth, people hear about it, or they leave the session and they have a question afterwards that they need answered. So we can handle that as well. We also do sessions for special groups. So let's say if the Nurses Association or a student group or a church group or a library wanted to have a session, we can create special sessions for those groups.